Welcome to another episode of What's Going On in the World. Today is Thursday, January 30th. I'm your host, Tommy J. Houseman. And I know this podcast is called What's Going On in the World. And I really, really want to talk about what's going on in the world. But Trump is such a... So I'm going to have to talk a lot about what's going on in the United States of America. So, okay, where do I even start? I've had a lot of activity on social media, TikTok and Facebook over the past week, and I've been arguing with lots of people about DEI. It's a very hard thing to do because people don't see the innate sexism, racism, and bigotry that comes with thinking that DEI is about putting unqualified people in jobs that they're not qualified for. And they're convinced that's what it is. Usually I steer away from arguing with people on the internet. I get pulled in every once in a while, but now I think it is a must. I think it's actually a responsibility. And I think that the only way to actually deal with this problem is through shame. And I know that might feel a little extreme at first when you think about it. But what's the alternative? And we're going to get to that as I move through the episode. The alternative is really bad. So we have to do something. And I think shame is the appropriate tool. So, once again, there are numerous studies out there that show that if you have a name that doesn't sound like you were born in the United States of America, or you have a name that sounds like you're a person of color, you're far less likely to get called back for an interview after filling out an employment application. The studies show that a white person with a felony is much more likely to get a callback than a person of color with a college education. So the reason that we have to put diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives in place is because, well, let's be honest. Old white people have a tiny pee-pee problem. They're always trying to make themselves seem bigger and more important than what they are. It's this false narrative of American exceptionalism. And that's the thing. You can't even honestly use the word America. That's how ethnocentric our country is. America includes Canada and South America. So South America, Canada, North America, the United States, that's all America. So when a person says something like, not in America, they mean the United States, but America, it's a lot bigger than just the United States. So that's the first problem with even saying that. America. So what you are is you're a U.S. citizen. You are from the United States. You're the continent is America. And that's just too complicated for some people to wrap their head around. So we have this false narrative, right? When obviously there's plenty of other countries around the world that are doing things more efficiently and better than we are. And we're just as guilty as atrocities as other places in the world. We need to just treat each other like human beings. Because that's what we all are. We're all just human beings trying to get by in a world of make-believe. We all make-believe that pieces of paper and money have value. We all make-believe that there's these borders that mean something. And we make-believe that this social construct that we've formed is effective and does something good for society, which, I mean, it doesn't. Things need to change. And things need to change for the good and not for the bad. Because right now we're going backwards. In my lifetime, my mother, or was right before I was born or right after I was born, my mother wasn't allowed to have a checking account without the permission or signature of a man. I'm not even 50 years old yet. That's been in my lifetime. Right before I was born, segregation ended. And I'm naming off these things that happened recently in history because, you know, I've had to talk a lot about immigration and DEI over the past week. And I want you all to know that our country isn't that old. I was born in the bicentennial of our country. We're not even to 250 years. We're not that old of a country. So everything that has happened to our country, it's all recent. Even though we have AI and cell phones and computers and cell phone towers and skyscrapers and we're very close to robots and self-driving cars, it wasn't that long ago where there was none of that. Me growing up, there was no such thing as a cell phone when I grew up. I didn't have my first cell phone until I was 20 years old. When I was a kid, my stepdad had one of those huge satellite cell phones that was about as big as a lunchbox. So all this is new. So yes, you do need a history lesson. We committed genocide to take this country. We stole this country from its original occupants. And that was yesterday. And then a couple hours later, we enslaved an entire race of people from another country and built this country. And then we enslaved another race of people after that from China to build a railroad. Everything that we have today is from the exploitation of others. And it's ignorant to think otherwise. And it's sad. I'm having trouble getting the words out of my mouth when I'm sitting here thinking about all of these men on the internet saying that women shouldn't be in this position. Or when I watched a news program today, and there was a report of Charlie Kirk not trusting the pilot of the plane because he was black. I mean, what kind of absolute piece of garbage are you? So, we don't allow, our society doesn't allow people of color, women, people with disabilities, people that are different in sexual orientation, we don't allow them into our little cult of capitalism. We try to keep them out. And we can't keep them out because we depend on all the people in the country to participate. If they're not participating, our country as a whole does poorly. Everybody needs to participate. That's how stupid capitalism works. So when you don't allow these people to participate, we have an imbalance. So this fixes that imbalance. These initiatives make sure that people that are qualified to do the jobs they are applying for get the opportunity to have those jobs. It's that simple. And I swear, don't argue with me about it in person. That's not going to be a good idea. I mean, what in the world is wrong with you to think that just because you're white and a man that you're more qualified to do a job without the proper training and the proper knowledge and the proper time, you are not special? And that's been the narrative, right? So we have all this talk about meritocracy. We have all this talk about being qualified for the job. And then this orange gas bag is nominating lots and lots of people who are not qualified for the positions. Alcoholics, sexual abusers, sex traffickers, people that have no business in the positions that TV hosts. They don't have the experience, they don't have the training, and they don't have the time to put in to be qualified for the positions. They are pity placements. They're pity placements, and they're yes men and yes women that are going to be puppets for an orange moron. Let's just talk about that for a minute. Let's go back to the border. So Trump would go to these rallies and he would have these narratives about people from mental hospitals. All the people from the mental hospitals, and they're letting them in, they're emptying out all their jails and their mental hospitals. And Hannibal Lecter, he's a great guy. Do you know why he would talk about Hannibal Lecter and insane asylums? Because he didn't know the difference between the word seeking asylum and a sane asylum, like a hospital. That's how moronic this man is. He cannot tell the difference between those two words. He didn't understand that the same word can mean more than one thing. And he is somebody who's been taught by Roy Cohn from the McCarthy era that you never change what you say, never back up, you never backpedal, you stick with what you say and you say it over and over again. So you never apologize, you never admit that you're wrong. And that works for him, and it works, and what's worse is it works on the American people. It works on the United States citizens. So you even have me doing that American people thing. I'm guilty of it too. But I try really hard to say U.S. citizen. So it works. And all it is repetition. Because none of what he says or anybody says about immigrants is true. Immigrants make up 50 to 70% of our agricultural workforce. Without them, our food supply tumbles. It crumbles. We don't have a food supply system. Grocery prices triple, quadruple. They make up 30% of construction. Without them, housing slows, doesn't get built, and the cost of having a home increases. Now, I'm talking to you about their monetary value because that's all that you weird capitalist people seem to understand. You don't want to look at and understand that they're human beings. You only look at them like they're some sort of animal or subhuman, because that's what you've been saying on television, politicians. They are people. They're people just like you and I that came to this country just like our ancestors came to this country. And when we got here, we killed and pillaged and took things. They're contributing. That's the difference. They're contributing. They're doing more than contributing. Everybody seems to think that we're taking care of them, but the fact is they are taking care of us. They've been supplementing our Social Security this entire time. We wouldn't even have a Social Security because we're an aging society. We're not replacing ourselves. We have a 1.6 birth rate. We're not replacing ourselves. We have to have immigrants. or we don't continue to take care of ourselves. We're an aging society. So we need them to come in. We need that influx of people, and there needs to be a smooth pathway to citizenship. The studies suggest that we would make $1.7 trillion in GDP if we just had a smooth transition to citizenship. And if we lost the 11 to 13 million undocumented immigrants that we have here, we'd lose $500 billion a year that they pay in taxes. Not to mention the money that they spend in their local economy and state, where that money goes to roads, where that money helps local businesses. So they're taking care of us. We're not taking care of them. Any money that gets spent on people that are seeking asylum that need immediate assistance is negligible. They do not qualify for food stamps. They do not qualify for TANF. More than 50% of undocumented immigrants that are here on lapsed visas. A lot of them can get a temporary renewal year to year, but they can't get a full renewal visa because the system is so antiquated and slow, because our politicians will not vote to change it. There's 10 to 15% waiting on court dates, and it is legal to enter our country and seek asylum. The majority of undocumented workers are here legally. And no person is illegal. These are human beings. The situations that are in South America, the United States is directly responsible for so many of the reasons they want to come here. Love thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor. It's not that complicated. Cruelty should be beneath all of us. And I see two of you reveling in the suffering of others. And it's pathetic. Today, there was a crash in Washington by the Reagan Airport. A plane hit a helicopter, Black Hawk helicopter. I've been talking on the internet all day with people, and I never thought to mention it because I wouldn't talk about something like this normally until I knew all the facts, right? I would wait until I knew everything before saying anything, except for that I feel for the loss of life, right? So on January 20th, Trump fired the FAA director. On January 21st, air traffic controller hiring was frozen. On January 22nd, Aviation Safety Advisory Committee was disbanded. On January 28th, a buyout retirement demand was sent to existing employees of the FAA. And on January 29th, first American mid-air collision in 16 years happened. Not to mention he fired a whole bunch of people too from the FAA. Now, I knew all that, but I didn't want to talk about it this morning because I don't know that that is the direct cause. I don't know. It probably is. It's probably part of the reason that this happened. And there's been some initial reports that, yes, this is probably aided into the situation. But that orange gas bag, that whiner in chief, got on live television today and blamed DEI employees. Now, I've been around for a little while. I've been through some presidents, and I'm a student of history. Every single president of the United States taken responsibility for the things that have happened under their watch. Every single one, except for one, and that's Donald Trump. So we've been talking about what it means to be a man. The right seems to be obsessed with masculinity, even because they can't tell the difference between masculinity and toxic masculinity. Donald Trump is not a role model. Role models are leaders, and leaders take responsibility for what happens under their watch. They give their condolences, and they talk about what they're going to do to ensure things like this don't happen in the future. They do not blame people. They don't go, it's his fault, it's her fault. He actually mentioned all kinds of insane ideas. He even talked about dwarves. And he talked about the mentally handicapped. If you can't see there's seriously something wrong with this man, and this man is not someone to idolize and to tell your children to look up to, this is not a good man. This is a horrible human being. Every other president we've ever had in history has taken responsibility for what has happened on their watch, except for Donald Trump. Is that the kind of leader you want? Is that the example you want for your children? Do you want to teach your children to hate? Do you want to teach your daughters that they can't do a job as good as a man because they're a girl? Is that what you want to teach your daughters, girl dads out there? Come on, girl dads, is that what you want? Do you want your daughters to be subjugated? Why do I have to get on the podcast and say these things? I should be talking about so many other things right now, but this is what I have to talk about. This is what I have to talk about, because you guys get, I watch Tucker Carlson talk about tanning your taint to be more masculine. You want to be more masculine? You stand up for the oppressed. You take up for the oppressed. And when you see injustices, you vocalize. You get on the internet. You say, no, that's not right. You don't vote for a criminal, rapist, con man, grifter, and tell your kids that that is someone you should look up to. A person that gets on live television and blames other people for his problems, lies, cries, and whines about how people treat him. That's not a man. Wait, when in the hell did that become being a man? Are you serious? Ladies and gentlemen, most of my podcasts lately have just been these types of rants. And I want to bring you more information. I'm going to want to break it down in a different way. But this might have to be the new format for a while until this stops, and I don't feel like it's going to stop. I appreciate you taking the time to listen today. Thank you for listening to What's Going On in the World. I'm your host, Tommy J. Houseman. Today is January 30th, Thursday, 2025. Bye-bye.